the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, so he's in prison, right? Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you what great and mighty things which you do not know. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of the city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down and fortified against the siege of the mountains of the sword. Anyway, the whole point is, God is with you. God is for you. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what I'm going through, he said, call to me. That's good. Call to me. But he also went on to say that I'll answer you. You know, we're going to pray for our nation in just a minute, for a few minutes, but we need to call to him. Our nation's in a mess. I mean, I don't care what side of the coin you're on. I mean, it's a mess. And we need God. We need God to come and fill us, guide us, lead us. And we're just going to believe God for that. And again, it's, you know, like 63 days now till the election. And we just want, we're not just praying for the presidency. We're praying for all the offices, you know, that God's will would be done and that his mercy would reign and that we'd see change in the hearts of people. Amen. Glory to God. And with that, I want to pray for just a minute for the churches in California that they're actually throwing them in jail, fining them $3,000-$6,000 every time they meet. Wow. Right? Because it's happening. It's real. It's there. And so far the courts have allowed it to happen. So let's just pray. Father, we just come before you in the matchless, the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, your word says, if you be for us, who can be against us? So there's nothing that can be done on this earth, Lord, if we know and are confident that you're with us, that can dissuade us from the joy of our salvation. But Lord, we pray for our nation as you've told us to do, and we ask God that you would intervene on behalf of our nation. Lord, do we deserve judgment over America? Well, yeah, but your mercy is greater than your judgment. And Lord, we're asking for mercy. We're asking, God, for the hearts that have been blinded to the evils that are happening in this country. We ask, God, that you would turn them around. And Father, we're asking, we're asking, God, that you would cause supernatural events to happen so that this election can lead us toward righteous leaders. And Lord, we just want to give you the honor and the praise and the glory for it. Holy Spirit, help us to pray. In Jesus' name. Sorate mafamundo roto kaya. Ike sobrate bafamundo roto koya. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you for answering our prayer. We called upon you, Lord, and you heard us, and we thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, again, last week I began to teach about the Holy Spirit, but not just about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit interfaces with us, right? How many know you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you? The moment that you got born again and your heart was made new, he came to reside on the inside of you, right? And that's so cool, but the reality is if we don't purposefully take advantage of that in our lives, then we're wasting a great resource. Come on, is that right? Yeah, that's right. So go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I'll agree with myself if nobody else will. That's just the way it is. Verse 37, it said, on the last day, great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Is anybody thirsty tonight? John chapter 7 and verse 37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Anybody thirsty tonight? Come on, are you really thirsty? Well, he said if you come to him, he'd give you something to drink, right? So it's kind of like you know that the source that you're going to, have anybody been really thirsty and you finally come home and you go to the sink and you turn that, you go, man, this is going to taste good, because I need some water. Well, that should be our anticipation as we come to him and ask him for this. He says in verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart, the King James says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 says, but of this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And we talked about that last week, that while Jesus was here on the earth, the Holy Spirit was with the apostles, but the Holy Spirit wasn't in the apostles because their hearts weren't made pure for the Holy Spirit to dwell there. Did you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Right? And so according to this, we should have out of our hearts rivers of living water flowing. What does that mean? That means God should be able to use us anytime, anywhere, and the Holy Spirit in our relationship with him should be there constantly. Right? And I know that there's been many times where it's like I don't even think about the Holy Spirit living in me. I'm going through this trouble, I'm going through this struggle, I'm going through this, and life's happening, and you're just out there. But the reality is that God is in us. And I think this too, I think that we define whether the Holy Spirit can use us based on how good we think we're doing as Christians. Right? It's kind of like, well, if I've been praying, if I've been going to church like I should, if I've been doing the things that I should do, then God can use me. Well, the reality is if God using you was based on you, you'd never be qualified to be used. Right? Because all of sin has fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we needed Jesus to come. But he came. He came. How many know that Jesus loves you? How many feel like he loves you consistently all the time throughout your whole life? Right? Because sometimes that's based again. Man, I know what I did yesterday. He's got to be ticked at me today. But the reality is his love is not based on you. It's based on him. The closest thing we have to it is parents and our kids might act up. We don't like what they did, but we don't stop loving them. Right? It's like, you're stuck with me. So when we talk about that and we talk about I'm loved by God, we can't base that on what we've done. We have to base it on his choice. And all we can say is thank you. So why do I say that? I say that because the Holy Spirit and being in us and for us to be able to be used by the Holy Spirit to do something, we've got to have confidence that he wants to. We have to get confidence. It's like this. You know, you're at your neighbor's house and they're saying, well, you know, we're going through this thing and this is the doctor's report. And so it's like our first response is, well, can I pray for you? Or would you allow me to pray for you? And not a religious prayer, but a connection between you and the Holy Spirit that can meet the need of the person that you're praying for. And have an expectation that you are an ambassador for God. You are somebody that God wants to use to make a difference in people's lives. It's really quite remarkable how God set it up. But God said, I want the world to know the gospel. I want the world to know what Jesus did for them so that they can believe that, so that they can become partakers. It's his will for all men to be saved. Right? And some people I know, I'm, you know, kind of questioning, but the reality is God wishes that all men would be saved, right? And so His plan for that happening is for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But just as it was in Acts chapter 4, and we looked at that, but just as it was in Acts chapter 4, it was like, okay, God, we're going to go, but we need you to go with us because we ask you to give us boldness to preach the word with signs and wonders following. In other words, God, you got to back up your word. How can we say that unless we really believe that God has put us in that position to be able to say that? When I pray for somebody, is it just me praying with one eye open saying, I hope something happens here, but if it doesn't, I'm going to look bad, right? I mean, or is it, God, I'm going to be your vessel, and with confidence, I'm going to pray for this person. And Lord, I have an expectation that you're going to do something because, Holy Spirit, you're leading me. Because I don't want just a stagnant pool of water inside of me. I want that river of living water coming out of me. Right? It's exciting when that happens. But here's what I believe at this time. We've kind of, in the church, over the last 100 years or whatever, we've kind of said, well, you know, let's do that in the church. Let's have a revival meeting. Let's have prophet so-and-so come in town. Let's have the apostle so-and-so. You know, somebody's coming to the Tacoma Dome. We ought to go there because the anointing is going to be strong. And we've seen miraculous things, and I'm not opposed to any of that. But what I'm saying is that what God wants is for you and me to have an expectation tomorrow morning when we're out doing our thing that we're available for Him to use for somebody else. That the same miracles that you've seen happen elsewhere can happen through you because the same Holy Spirit who empowers them is with you to do that. Come on, does that make sense? So it's like us, Lord, help us with that. Help us. Now, we all know that Jesus is the answer, right? And I love what Keith Moore said. He said, the answer to everything. Wouldn't you like to know the answer to everything? Right? I mean, the answer to everything. I want to know the answer to everything. What's the answer to anything and everything? He said the answer to everything is to be led. Well, come on, give me some more. Be led? What are you talking about? Give me to be led. Well, it's to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit where you can communicate with Him that He'll give you the answers that you need. So every answer is contained in the fact that the Holy Spirit is in you to lead you, to guide you. He wants to talk with you. He wants you to hear Him. He wants to hear from you. And that's another thing. It's like God wants to hear from you. He wants you to pray. He wants you to unload your heart to Him, even though He knows your heart better than you. Why? Because that communication has to come, right? And so we're talking about developing that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where we stopped last week, and I just feel compelled that we need to go some more into that. I don't believe that the miracles stopped when the last apostle died. I believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He asked me, why do you believe that? Because I think that's what the Scripture teaches, but it's also because I've seen God work today. I've seen people delivered from demonic spirits. I've seen and witnessed people healed. I've seen people, you know, just so many things happen. I've been a part of some of that, but the Holy Spirit was using me in that way. But here's the deal. It's like we ought to have a higher expectation today because I believe that the time is darker than it's been for quite a while, right? I mean, can you all agree with that? But when the darkness abounds, grace much more abounds. And we're the vessels of grace. God's the source of grace, but we're the vessels of grace on the earth. In other words, we're the ones that God has chosen to dispense grace. I mean, listen, those knucklehead 12 disciples that he had, and there were others in the room, but he said, here's the deal, I'm going to my Father, but I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Can you imagine that? Who are we? Who are we? We're sitting here in Jerusalem hiding in a room because of what could happen to us. Who are we to go? Well, there's revelation that started coming about who they were. We're children of the Most High God. We've been given a commission. We've been given an assignment. And God wants to use us. And later on, it says in Acts that the world was turned upside down by these men. Do we have any world changers in here? I believe we do. And you might say, well, yeah. If I'd only known that when I was 20, then I could really have the energy to do what God's calling me to do. You know what? God called you to do something. He knew you'd be here tonight, no matter what your age is. So as long as you're breathing, you're on the earth, you have the potential to be used mightily for God. And that's what we all want, isn't it? So even in our prayers, if we really believe that praying in the Spirit does something, that even in that we're doing something mighty for God when we yield to the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit a lot. Glory to God. It's good. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, however you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord but except by the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And then verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit. And I like to say it this way, the manifestation means when he shows up, this is what it looks like. When the Holy Spirit shows up, this is what it looks like. And it's going to look like that in Jerusalem. It's going to look like that in Antioch. It's going to look like that in Rome. It's going to look like that in Uganda. It's going to look like that in Port Orchard. It's going to look like this. No matter where the Holy Spirit is, when he shows up, this is what it looks like. So we have to have an expectation that he wants to use us, and when he shows up, right? And I love this because it says that there's he does it different ways for different peoples at different times. So unless we see ourselves as the vessels that contain the Holy Spirit with the rivers of water flowing out of us, we're going to just delegate that off to somebody else. I'll pray, you go. Right? But my prayers aren't very good, so I'm not going to do much of that either. You just go. Right? I mean, if we're honest, that's where we've been. If we really believe that our prayers and praying in the Spirit and praying according to the will of God can change things, then we pray with an assurance that that hour that I just spent praying for the country did something. Praying for my children or praying for my relatives for 20 or 30 years has done something. Or have we given up? We said, well, I prayed for a year and nothing happened, so scratch them off my prayer list. I'll go on to somebody else because it's not working with them. No, if we have confidence that the Holy Spirit hears us, I mean, if God hears us and the Holy Spirit is directing us, then the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or person avails much. So what I'm trying to get you to understand and get you to buy into is that I have much more potential in the Lord than I've ever been aware of. God can use me in greater dimensions than he ever has. And here's the thing. I don't have to be like, you know, the person that's just so bold that they can talk to anybody anytime. Well, God, that's how God uses them. But that may not be the way God uses me. Right? And we're going to look at different ways as we go on here. But it's like, okay, God, however you're going to use me, I'm going to be used not in my own strength, but I'm going to be used, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's the key point. That's the point of contact where that river can come out and bless other people. Woo! Come on, I'm all about that. I'm all about that. God used me. God used me. God used me. It's really easy to get into the comparing one another. And that's just where the devil wants you. Because if you begin to compare yourself with somebody else, you'll always come up short. Why? Because you'll see something in them that you don't have, and you go, I'm not as good as, or I'm not as worth, right? But here's the reality. God wants to use you because you're better at something than they are, and you're not supposed to get jealous of that. You're supposed to embrace that and say, well, glory to God. I'm glad that you know, they're like they are, but I'm also glad that I have a place in the body of Christ and that God wants to use me. Come on, that's good. So, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So again, I had you do this. If you didn't do this, think about it, but it says to each one. I determined a long time ago that I'm an each one. When the Bible says God, you know, so loved the world, I decided I'm one of those that He so loved. Right? It applies to me because it's all inclusive. So tonight you have to get in your heart and in your mind that God wants to use me. And again, it's never too late. Some of us think, well, you know, if I was only, you know, 30 years old or 40 years old or whatever, God could, or if I was only healthier, if I was only this and all, only that. You got to get that out of your mind. Think about it, that Moses was 80 when God sent him into Egypt, right? Abraham was an old man when God started to use him, on and on and on and on and on and on. And so age doesn't really matter unless you let the enemy rob you. And it's not what you can't do that's important. It's what you can do that's important. Lord, what have you put before me that I can do? Right? Glory to God. So watch this now. This is good. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Now watch this. But what is the word given to that one for? For the profit of all. God wants to use you and give you something by His Spirit so that you can use it to be a prophet to somebody else. In other words, it can help somebody. It can help somebody. So the one, come on, this is so good. I love it. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And I've been taught many different things about what a word of wisdom is and a word of knowledge is. And we could split hairs with it. Somebody said that a word of wisdom is something in the future, but a word of knowledge is something that... It doesn't matter to me. What it really means is, for me, a word of wisdom is knowing what to do in the situation. So in other words, God can speak to you when somebody comes up, I don't know what to do, and God can drop something in your heart to say, what have you thought about? And there's a word of wisdom there. Or God gives you the plan. God gives you the invention. God gives you something supernaturally. That's how He manifests, and He wants to do that. He's still doing that today. Knowledge, I mean, the word of knowledge works, is incredible. And it can work for all of us. I think it's worked more for me outside of the church than it has inside the church. And just a couple of different instances where it's worked. Again, I think I said this last week. My son would come home and he'd say, I can't get away with anything. And that's because the Holy Spirit would show us things, right? Word of knowledge happening. I was over at a restaurant in Bremerton, and I had a guest minister there, and it was a summer day, so we were out on the deck, and a beautiful day, and the waitress was you know, doing a great job, and I just had this drop on the inside of me, and I looked up at her, and I said, you know, the Lord loves you. And the Lord wanted me to tell you that He misses you. And the Lord wanted me to say that it's important for Him for you to be in fellowship. She just started bawling. She started bawling. Well, I haven't been to church, and I have a church family, but, you know, this happened, that happened, that. And how did I know that? I didn't know that. But the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm sitting there and all of a sudden my chair starts shaking and you know, I started getting goosebumps from the top of my head. That's not how it works. It works like the Holy Spirit says, tell her that I love her. And you do that, and then He gives you something else, and then He gives you something else, and then He gives you something else. But if you go, I don't want to bother her. I don't want to look like a fool. Well, you've just robbed her of the profit that God wanted to give her by exercising a gift through you. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Watch this. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. It's kind of like there's a faith that can come rise up on the inside of you that goes beyond your faith, that God is supernaturally giving you faith for a particular instance. It comes from God, but you have to believe that God is with you, and you have to believe that God is using you, wants to use you, that you are a minister of the gospel, that you are an ambassador for the King. And sometimes we get hung up with the word minister. Well, he's a minister. That means he's getting paid to do that, right? Or that he's in the fivefold, which we're going to look at in a minute. But he's in the fivefold ministry. But listen to me, what the definition of ministry is. Servant. It means to serve. Anybody that elevates their position in ministry above servanthood has got it messed up. And anytime you elevate somebody and make them something more than they are, you're doing them a disservice rather than, right? Anyway, I'm going to stop with that. But God wants to use us in these things. He wants to give you discerning of spirits. You know, when you say that, people go, yep, I'm going to have a demon casting out meeting. You know, ministry. Well, maybe. And God will show you, you know, but oftentimes it just comes as a thought. Or He might tell you that there's angels in the room, or He might tell you something else. But you can have discerning of spirits, but again, it's not for you, it's through you. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, he said, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's been given to me for you? When I first read that, I went, whoa, that's so awesome. In other words, I have a portion in the grace of God where the Holy Spirit can use me to pour out of me, but that dispensation is not to say, but you know, and some of you will remember this back in the day when we first started talking about, you know, the ministry gifts and the gifts of the Spirit. It was like, well, I've got the gift of this, and I've got this, and I operate in all nine gifts, you know, whoop-dee-doo, right? So what, the emphasis was on what who I am, but the reality is the emphasis should be on the Holy Spirit through you, right? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
So it's not just like she gives a gift, it comes and she gives prophecy
I think that there that God gives different gifts to different people in different ways. And so, like, there are certain gifts that go with ministry gifts that are more prominent. Like a prophet will have words of knowledge and words of wisdom and coming out of him more than. But an evangelist might have working of miracles and different things more prominently. But if we just limit it to them, then most of the body of Christ is not. They're just sitting in the pew doing nothing. Let's come to the show. We're going to the show on Sunday. Let's watch God work through the puppet. And that's not it. That's not what we're talking about. Right? So let's go on. I hope that helped. But yeah, God wants to use all of us. And we read last week at the end of this chapter, it says, but desire earnestly the best gift. And I said, what's the best gift? What's the best? Faith, oh, that's got to be the best gift. No, working a miracle, that's got to be the best gift. And then, this just works for me. You know what the best gift is? The one that's needed by the one you're talking to. So, Holy Spirit, use me with whatever gift you want to use. Well, yeah. If you do everything without love, it counts as nothing. So again, but that's the basis of what we're doing. We have to come to the knowledge that God wants to use us. And then when we are displaying, or it's all because God loves the person that we're talking to. No matter who it is. That's so good. Now watch this. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And some of us, well, I see, God uses that person, but He doesn't want to use me, use that person. That's not what it's saying. It says when the need arises, God will use the person that He wills to use in that particular instant. Right? And so it's really important that we are available. That we say, God, use me in any way that you want to. See, I believe even in prayer, God can use these different manifestations for you to know how to pray. He can give you a word of knowledge about what you're really praying for. And the Holy Spirit, we know that He can pray according to God's will because we don't know how to pray for somebody as we should. Somebody messes up and we go, man, I need to pray for, you know, Sister Mess Up over here. And so... Or Brother Mess Up, I don't want to get anybody mad. But you know, Brother Mess Up over here, right? And we go, well, yeah, here's the issue. They did such and such, and we need to pray about that. When the real issue is something that happened in his heart maybe 30 years ago, and God wants you to pray for the healing of that so that the symptom goes away because the core root of it is healed. See? And that's what the Holy Spirit can do with us if we begin to pray in the Spirit and by faith know that what we're praying is powerful. So verse 12 says, for the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. What does that mean? That we got a lot of different flavors, right? We got a lot of different people, but we're all the same body, right? Jesus is the head, we're the body. But we all have importance. And listen to what it goes on to say. This is really good. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. So, for the fact the body is not one member but many, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it's therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased, And if we were one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, but yet one body. What does that mean? I need you and you need me. And I can't be jealous of how God uses you. You can't be jealous of how God uses me. But we must come to a determination that God wants to use me. And then when you're doing something, I don't care what it is, we have to believe that God will empower us to do that to where it will be a benefit to somebody else. That's so powerful, so important. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body we think less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which it lacks it. In other words, look at it. It's like, I don't think about my kidneys ever until one of those stones tries to pass through the little tube that goes to the bladder. You know, or I have a kidney infection. And then what happens? All of a sudden, my kidney is very important to me. Right? That whole area is like, God, we got to fix this because it's messing everything else up. And so if you look at yourself, well, you know, I'm nothing. Well, not according to God. If you're in the body of Christ, then you're a part of the body of Christ, and you're important to the function of the body of Christ. And yet, what we have is we have a bunch of mouths moving in the body of Christ, but no hands moving, or no fingers moving, or the kidneys are, you know, on dialysis. Right? And so what I'm trying to point out is that God wants to use all of us, but we have to have an expectation that my part in the body is not more elevated. And as it says in Romans chapter 12, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But if you're in the body of Christ, there's a function for you to do. And God wants to use you, and He wants to pour out of His Spirit that thing that you've been drinking in. He wants to pour it out onto somebody else. You say, well, where's my ministry? Is it in Africa? Is it? Well, first place, it's in your home, right? And it's wherever. You know where your ministry is? Wherever you are. That's not too hard. Wherever you are is where your ministry is. So it's, God, you can use me anywhere. Wouldn't it be nice if we wake up tomorrow? Okay, God, where is it? Where is my assignment today? Man, I'm looking for it because I have an expectation that you're going to use me today. And the minute that the need is met, Father, the gift and the power that's necessary to meet that need will be present, because out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. So good. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are one body of Christ and the members individually. You know, let's just imagine that you're up for a big award. You're up before the podium, and they're calling you up, and they got this big statue that they're giving to you. And you're sitting up there, and your heart goes, I'm not into this. I'm not going to go up there. You know what you would be? You'd be dead. You wouldn't be able to accept the award because your heart stopped functioning. Right? Oftentimes, I think we miss the mark because we stop functioning, and we just say, well, you know, that's what we pay the pastor for. Or that's what we expect the prophet to come and do. That's what we expect, you know. Who am I? Well, if you got about an hour and a half, I'll tell you who you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're a carrier of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you. You're more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. Nothing is impossible to you if you're a believer. Come on, I could go on and on and on and on. I'm a child of Abraham. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I've been forgiven. I'm redeemed. The Redeemer lives in me. Come on. So again, it's not about who I am, but who He's made me to be. And I'm in Him. And it's the in Him part that makes me valuable to the body of Christ. It's the in Him part that allows the Spirit of God to be inside of me where He can use me to flow onto somebody else. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophet, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, variety of tongues. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, we talk about the fivefold ministry, and that's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Those are the fivefold, and there's some validity to that, right? But in this, there's more than just that. In Romans chapter 12, there's even more that are added to it. In Romans chapter 4, I believe it is, that one of the gifts is a giver. The Holy Spirit has empowered somebody to have the gift of giving. But oftentimes, these gifts are developed inside of us. There's a seed, but God gives it. And so what I'm saying is, Lord, how do you want to use me? And the same dependency upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit to preach a message should be the same one in giving. Should be the same one. It talks about administrations here, about an administrator. Man, I'm anointed and appointed to organize things, put things together. But I'm not doing this on my own. I maybe have some gifting there. But when my gifting stops, the Holy Spirit uses me to do that. And years ago when I was going to Bible school and was a pastor, not a pastor, but an usher at a church, because I just felt if I was going to be at church, I need to do something. So I'll usher. Well, I would get to the church a half hour early before the service, and I'd walk, you know, it was a larger church, so there were sections. You know, you had a section that you were over. And I would walk that section and touch every chair and say, Father, I just thank you for the anointing that's going. This is my section, God. You've called me to serve these people. So before they get here, I'm praying over every chair, God, that you would, you know, you would anoint it and the people would get exactly what they need. Satan, I bind your powers over their minds to distract, you know, and every week I'd do that. So that I started out way in the back. I had a back section way back, you know. But by the time we left, and it was, you know, probably a year and a half or 2 years later when we left, I was front row in the middle. I didn't ask for that, didn't, you know, but that's where they put me. Why? Because they saw the anointing being poured out through me over the sections that I was in. And so we have to have an expectation. Like here, if we're setting up chairs, like I set the chairs up this afternoon, and it was like, Lord, I'm just praying over these chairs as I'm setting them up. I believe that I'm as anointed to set the chairs up as I am to tell you what I'm telling you right now. But all of us have to have that expectation. What is the anointing? The anointing is nothing more than the power that comes from the touch of God on our lives to bless somebody else. So God wants to use us. He wants to use us. And again, I was going to finish tonight, but I'm probably not going to. That's okay. We'll carry it on next week. There's government in this. There's order. There's things that have to be kept in order, because if not, it can become chaos. And then you have to trust one another, submit to one another. In other words, if you know, I get up and I say, well, thus saith the Lord, you know, the devil has blue shoes and he's going to be here on Tuesday night, I hope somebody in the congregation would say, Pastor, I think you're off. Right? I think he had that pizza didn't settle with you at all. So, and I would need to submit to that, right? And so the same thing is true. If you have a word and the pastor says, well, you know, let's look at the scripture because I don't think that that lines up totally. You have to submit to that. And not that I'm doing it to point out your fault. I'm doing it in love to help you grow, right? Or one another. I've said this many times. I feel like the Lord is telling me this. And I'll speak it over to somebody as I'm praying. But I want you to know, if this doesn't line up with something on the inside of you, either spit it out, tell me I'm wrong, whatever. That's not going to hurt my feelings. Because it's not about me anyway. It's about me being used. Does this help anybody tonight? Come on, God wants to use you. You are important to the body of Christ. You're just as important as anybody else. And it's not just because you're you. It is. But it's because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. And He wants to use you to help win the world for Him. He wants us to be the answer for the problems of the United States. And I believe He wants to do it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this evening service, Lord. If there's anybody that's listening to me over the internet that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, I pray tonight, God, that they would just bow their head toward You and say, Father, I know that I need a Savior, and I ask Jesus to become Lord of my life. And like one lady said to the Lord, she said, Lord, if You can do anything with this with me, just do it. And God gloriously saved her. And He'll do the same thing for you. So, Father, I just ask You to bless everybody that's hearing these words. And, Lord, I thank You for the anointing that's been upon me to present them. And I give You the glory for all of the results. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.